We continue this morning with a series that I started that has just been born out of my recent trip to Israel, to Egypt, to Jordan, a series that I call Snapshots, as I took thousands of pictures, of course, as I was there. I'm still trying to organize them and try to put them in some kind of for those who are interested, some kind of a presentation that maybe will walk you through some of the places that I've been. But at the same time, I thought I would bring some of the insights. It's amazing how just seeing, being in a place and seeing something, you make connections to scripture, to passages that you've read probably tens, maybe even hundreds of times. Psalm 23 is one of those scriptures that fits the hundreds of times category, I think. It is read often as words of comfort during funerals. It is they are words very familiar, and even those who don't make a regular habit, I think, of attending kind of a worship setting, you will also see them mouthing the words of Psalm 23. It's one of those psalms that has managed to kind of settle into the mind of the larger society. We are going to consider this psalm, but as you can tell, I'm only considering the first four verses. I don't know if you've ever noticed, because it is so familiar and because we lapse into simply reciting it by rote memory, sometimes we don't study what the psalm actually says. And if you look at the psalm carefully, you will actually notice that it is divided into two very distinct parts. And the first part has to do with Jesus as a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And then there's a switch at verse 5 where the language changes much more to that of royalty, of banquet, of some gala, some big thing. And that's very deliberate. Jesus Christ, of course, is our shepherd king. The reason that Christ's shepherding makes a difference is that he is also king of the universe. He has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. It is through his work, through his authority, that he takes on even a bigger authority as shepherd, and that is why we can follow him and lead him. So we're going to focus on that part of the psalm that focuses on Jesus as our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Father, you are our shepherd. You have given us Jesus as the shepherd, and you call us to be a shepherd to each other. You call us to go out, and as the song said, to sow those seeds of compassion. Father, may you develop in each of us a shepherd's heart and teach us from your word again this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 23, the first four verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. This is the reading for us this morning. Shepherds, sheep, pastures, they're a common theme in Scripture. and they are brought forward beautifully and very descriptively in the verses of Psalm 23. One can imagine, and in fact, I no longer had to imagine as I walked those fields on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Lush green fields, bristling with goodness. And I share those scenes with you. Fields where wheat stalks poked out of flower-laden patches, winds sweeping over the rolling hillside. This is, I imagine, what we think of when we hear those words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." As we were walking through those fields, as we headed towards the Sea of Galilee in the distance, I could very well imagine Jesus walking there with his disciples. The distant Sea of Galilee, the wind, the smells of the wildflowers, the grasses that were just touching gently on our elbows as we walked in this path of our own making. It was one of the favorite, my favorite days of our tour. There was something restoring about it indeed. It helped, of course, that it was an absolutely gorgeous day, much like it is today. George, our group leader, was surprised. He says it can be very muggy, it can be very humid here, and oftentimes, he says, my shirts are soaked in sweat. And yet, on the day that we were there, the only thing that we had to worry about was making sure our heads were covered, that we had enough sunscreen on, and that we did have some water with us as we walked those hills, as we walked down to the Sea of Galilee. I remember picking some long blades of grass and chewing on the fresh, tender shoot. Have you ever done that? Yes, you can just taste the freshness. You can taste the freshness of new life. And you could smell the fragrances of various wildflowers. And I would completely chew out all the juices, and I would have the luxury of throwing it away and just reaching out my hand and grabbing the next one, giving it a yank, and I would chew on yet another one, better than any toothpick that you buy in a store. It was a good day. And it did, in fact, have the effect of restoring my soul, as the psalmist says. And I could tap easily into that other phrase, he guides me in paths of righteousness. Life was good. And George took us on this beautiful fields of pastures green. When all is well with the world, it is easy to claim the good guiding hand of the shepherd, isn't it? But the reality actually is quite different from those idyllic pictures that I showed you of the shepherd, of the things that we think of when we hear Psalm 23. Green pastures. I don't know if you can see that picture in the lower right hand. I don't know if you can see the dots there. Those are sheep and goats that are walking in fields that are much, much less green. The shepherd that has graduated to riding a horse or a donkey, leading the sheep, and then to the left there in the front, the goats, kicking up dust and needing to cross a paved patch of roads that had these electrical poles beside them. You can see some of the landscape that is much less inviting, much less idyllic. And I suspect that this is not what you think of when you hear those words of Psalm 23. And yet this too is where we saw many a shepherd as we drove through Israel. The reality hit me. The reality that was shattered, because as I had been walking through those fields of green, those pastures with wild wheat popping up and wild flowers and grasses growing right up to elbow height. And as I remembered that, I do remember thinking, I would love to be a shepherd here, because what else is there to do but to walk the fields and watch your sheep fill their bellies to content. And I never saw any wild animals. Life was good. Life was great. And I thought, this surely is the place to apply for that job, to be a shepherd. When I saw scenes like this, I started hedging a little bit. I took a few steps back and I thought, this is much less the place that I would like to shepherd. And yet, this reality, a much a greater reality in most times of the year. Yes, Israel has many lush places, especially around the Sea of Galilee. The only fresh water, body of fresh water in that whole region of the Middle East. Yes, that can be lush and green and wonderful and very, very pastoral. And yet, the majority of the country, as you can imagine, Israel from north to south, many miles is more like this. It took George, self-proclaimed rabbi, our teacher, to point out something that I hadn't necessarily noticed. If you look at these pictures, is there anything that that you notice about the various hills and hillsides? Yeah, there are these paths that have been worn into the hillside. I hope you can see that in each picture. You can see the lines clearly on the hills. And so, actually, when we read Psalm 23, I think it is more accurate to, instead of saying, lead us into paths of righteousness, the literal translation there is straight paths. Lead us into straight paths. Paths. He guides me in straight paths for his name's sake. I think it is, I had a much harder time walking those paths rather than the green ones where my soul was being restored by all that was lush and that was green. As we walked some of those hills, there was a low stone wall that was crudely constructed, and all of a sudden George hopped the wall, and he started making his way down this quite a slope. And he looked at us just as you see him there, again on the right, And he bent down and he picked up one of the green tufts that you can maybe see scattered on the hillside. And he said, this really is a much more accurate setting for Psalm 23. Green pastures. The hillsides did have green bushes and vegetation that would be growing here and there. And then in between, there would be those paths that were clearly shown by the former picture. And then he called four or five or six brave people, and he says, why don't you come down here? He was careful not to pick those who had already been strained by our walk. And he says, why don't you come down here and join me? Be careful that you don't start sliding down. And he placed people on those paths, on the straight paths. And he says, this is how a shepherd really feeds those sheep in times where the vegetation is sparse. Lead me to green pastures. Lead me to those places where there is greenery, where there is something to eat. And because the shrubbery, the greenery is so sparse, if you put all your sheep in that one, they would completely devastate whatever is there. And so what a shepherd does is he takes them to these places where the weeks and the months have been able to, these bushes are tough and they grow. He would take his herd there and he would place them in rows on paths, and then he would send them, he would pick up some rocks and he would throw them, and the sheep would start walking those paths, and on either side of those paths were these tufts of green, these bushes that had somehow managed to soak up the whatever little moisture was there. And he would guide the sheep on these individual paths, and he would drive them forward, and they would stop, and they would eat on both sides. And it was the shepherd's job then to make sure that the sheep would not completely eat these the greenery down to its nub, down to its root, because if they eat too much of that, of course, it might kill that plant, those plants that are growing there. So he would have to keep moving them forward so that when they had left that place, there would be enough of the bush, enough of the greenery that would survive another day and would grow again, so that he would come back in another few months to make another run at this. Green pastures are difficult to find sometimes, and it is the shepherd's job then to know of the places where the greenery has been restored, and to lead the sheep and his flock to that place. But what was remarkable is what George did then with this teaching. He took this example, that which a shepherd does in reality, and he had us stand in those paths, and he started sending us forward. And he says there is a great lesson to be learned here about straight paths. Sometimes the obvious one is that the paths that the shepherd leads us in, the places where God leads us, are not always lush and green, where everything is for the taking, and where we can lounge and where we will be filled with plenty. Many times the shepherd leads us to the places to feed And those places can be sparse indeed. But what I thought was more profound is the point that George made about the different paths. He says, notice that the shepherd does not put all his sheep on the one path. Because again, they would completely spill over that path and they would destroy any of the greenery that was there. No, he carefully placed them on different paths. I think sometimes we as Christians make the mistake of thinking that the path that we are on is the path that everyone is supposed to be on. That the way we understand and experience God is normative, is the only way that you can experience God. That's the only way you can walk your journey of faith. We tend to think, don't we, that the road that God has put us on, the road that we choose to walk, is the best road. Otherwise, we wouldn't necessarily have chosen it. What this illustration did for me is it provided me with an image of the Christian life. Yes, it is true, we are one flock. We are one flock of sheep and a few goats scattered in between there. And Christ, the Good Shepherd, puts us all on our path. And he leads us forward. And he keeps us together, but not to the point that we must all think exactly the same thing, walk exactly the same path. Think, do exactly the same thing. Now, he has mapped out these paths for us. He puts us on our path, and he encourages us to move and to move forward. Straight paths, yes. Lush, not always. But the shepherd has mapped out paths for us. He knows the way that we ought to go. He knows where the greenery is to grow us and to move us where he needs us to go. We all got back in the bus, and as we were driving away from here, it was not 15, 20 minutes later that all of a sudden George yelled, "Stop, stop the bus, park the bus." And so the bus driver did his best on the narrow road to pull this huge bus to the side of the road. And George and his interpreter jumped out of the bus and he says, "Wait." And he jumped and he walked up to this shepherd, and they had a little talk about whether the man was agreeable to what George had in mind. And the man seemed very agreeable. I think there was some nice thanks giving passed on to him after the whole ordeal was done. Words of thanks and some bills along with it, I believe. But then when the shepherd had agreed, he called us. "Come," he says, "follow me." And we all went off the bus, and we stood with George as he brought the next insight about the role of the shepherd. The shepherd was there again in fields, trying to get this time a flock of goats sustenance. And he, of course, stood in the shade as the goats went out and found these tufts of green to fill their stomachs. The goats busy finding these places of green that they could eat. And we had all piled out of the bus. There were 40-some. There was lots of noise. The goats paid us no attention. They continued grazing. They continued finding the lush green things to fill their stomachs. And they just went about their business until, the shepherd spoke. he put out this call to the goats, and you could see almost immediately the goat poke out his head from what he was doing, what he was eating, and he looked immediately at the shepherd, and recognizing the voice of the shepherd, and immediately the goat after this came up to the shepherd, and the other sheep, the other goats rather, they saw him and they followed him. And within just a few minutes, as he spoke a few more words of encouragement, all the goats had now gathered around this lead goat. And George asked him, he says, so how many goats do you have? And he says, well, right here, I believe he had 20, 26, 27 of them. And George says, do you have any favorites? Now, this is like asking, who is your favorite child? And of course, nobody ever has a favorite child, right? But the shepherd, bless his heart, he said, no, he says, they are all my goats. He says, but, he says, I do rely on the one who is more attentive to my voice. It is always he that lifts its head and leads the others when we need to move on. And he says, and I do reward him accordingly. There are some that are more attentive to the voice of the shepherd. My question to you is, do you know the voice of your shepherd? Would you be able to pick out among all the noise of the world, would you be able to pick out when God spoke, when the Spirit prompts something in your heart, when you are busy foraging food? Not saying that you are apart from the shepherd, even with the shepherd. Are we always attentive to when he speaks and when he calls? I am the good shepherd, Jesus said in the Gospel of John. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They respond to my voice. That was brought home to me as we stopped along the road, as the traffic went by, as there were many voices competing to fill that space. Yet it was the voice of one man, the shepherd. It was a few attentive goats that heard and led the others. Do you know your shepherd? Do you know the voice of your shepherd? Do you spend enough time with the shepherd? Will you be able to hear his voice over the din of the world? Will you look up from what you are doing? Will you trust him when you are in flowing green pastures as well as these paths, those straight that run through the wilderness and death's dark veil, as Psalm 23 says? Will you trust the voice of the shepherd when he says, come, follow me? The Israelites turned away from lush green Egypt, the Nile, which provided water for the crops that were planted. I remember George saying, you can drop a seed on the banks of the Nile. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to dig a hole. You don't have to plant it. You don't have to push it in with. You can drop a seed, and the ground is so fertile that it will just grow. And it is this place where God said, come, I will take you to a land. And he took the people of Israel out of this lush green banks of the Nile, and he led them to a wilderness. And we stood at one point at this place of where there was almost this very distinct line. Behind us were the banks of the Nile and Egypt, and everything was lush and green. There were banana trees, there were rice fields, things were growing. It was absolutely amazing. And then when you turned the other way, there was nothing but sand and barrenness and a few trees. It is then that the voice of the shepherd matters. It is then that the trust relationship that you've built with the shepherd begins to matter. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Come, follow me, he said to the Israelites. I will take you to a land flowing with milk and honey, as he headed into the desert for 40 long years. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs says, with all your heart. Common sense would keep you away from the desert. The yearnings of your heart would keep you near the Nile and all that is lush and growing. And yet the Lord says, trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all the ways that I will put you on, in all the paths, acknowledge me, and I will make your paths straight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, there are times in our lives when it is easy to follow you, when things are going well and things are going right. Things are firing as they are supposed to. And then there are those times of barrenness, those times where we have questions, where we have doubts, where we suffer, where we struggle, where we wonder where you are and where you are leading us. Father, help us in the times where you lead us into lush green pastures. Help us, Father, to learn from all the paths that you take us on, that you do provide, and that you are with us, and that you put us each on paths. They don't always look like straight paths to us, and yet you find a path, Father, where we can eat and where we can grow and where we can move on. Help us, Father, to trust, to learn the sound of your voice amidst the noise of the world and even in the midst of the wilderness. Put us on our path, Father, and lead us and guide us. Restore our soul and give us eyes of faith as we look to the shepherd. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I invite you now to rise. We are going to sing one final song after we receive God's blessing. God never sends us on our way without a blessing. He always sends us on our way with his hands wide open. So receive now from the wide open hands of God his blessing. Go. Go into all the world and tell the world of the Good Shepherd. Teach them to hear his voice, that they too may be attentive, that they too may learn to trust. He who leads us beside quiet waters, he who restores our soul, he who brings us to places of water and plenty. Go and make disciples. call the sheep into the fold. And the grace and the peace of God our Father, Jesus the Good Shepherd, and the Spirit be with us all. Amen.